Thank you for those songs and the encouragement to sing enthusiastically. I like to do that, and I like to hear that and share in that. And if it's about God and things that we want to see happening and that we're thankful for, we should have our hearts in it. So the board looked pretty bad when I got here this morning. So I took a couple paper towels with water on it and rubbed over it for a while, and took a dry one and rubbed over it for a while. But now it looks worse. What's going on? Well, I'd like to share some thoughts, some of which I hope will encourage us to not live in these things that are spoken of on the board. I'm going to start, let's pause for a word of prayer, and then we'll start in Psalm 15. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to be here together this morning. Lord, help us to focus on you today. Help us to give you praise. Help us, Lord, to hear what you have for us, and that we would be able to dwell with you and in you each and every day. Lord, I ask that you would just bless this service. Bless those that aren't able to be here this morning as well, and keep your hand over them where they are. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 15. Who belongs with God and is a citizen of Zion? It says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is condemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, he that putteth not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent, he that doeth these things shall never be moved. Where are we in this? Do we speak the truth in our hearts? Do we meditate on things that are something that is good, that's a blessing? Or do we stew about things and find ourselves in the things that are mentioned on the board up here? Oftentimes, we have a choice, and we can do a lot of harm or a lot of good. Both may be with good intent in some ways, but have a very different effect. And I think that we need to remember to meditate on the things that are true and to be considering what it is that we're speaking, lest we be harsh or a burdensome person in some way when we could be encouraging. You know, the truth spoken in love goes so much further than just the truth sometimes. And we need to remember that love is listed as more important than faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But then we remember that verse that there's faith, hope, and charity, and the greatest of those is love. What is the greatest commandment? It's love. And if we're going to do that, we're going to think, we're going to reflect in our heart. And what comes out after meditating on the truth is going to have the love of God written all over it. And we need to just remember that, because so often it's so easy to hurt when we could heal, to discourage when we could encourage. What are we doing with the window of opportunity we have to speak into each other's lives? If we care, we want to meditate on those things in our heart before we blurt out something that may be true, but it's harsh. It's not refined. It's not loving. It's not acceptable. We need to consider the Lord in all that we do. The next passage I'd like to look at is 1 Corinthians 13. which I alluded to already. I'm going to read verses 4 to 8 and also verse 13. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail, whether there be tongues, they shall cease, whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. How is it in our lives? Do I hope all things for you? Do I see through the things that sometimes look a little funny on the shell, on the surface of things, and look like somebody's still working out the kinks in figuring out who they are? Do I look beyond that at the heart? Or do I look and quickly find myself nitpicking? Sometimes I've done that, and I repent of that. And I encourage all of us to remember that inside every shell of a person is the real somebody. And oftentimes, we can't see all of it from the shell. You know, obviously, what's inside will tend to manifest itself, will tend to be reflected on the outside. But I've bumped into a lot of interesting-looking frames and shells that had a lot of good in them. And I really think that we need to remember to hope and believe and bear and suffer long. This has been the burden of my heart, so I wanted to share it with you all this morning. This is something that hit me, that we need. I know I've spoken along this line before, and I will again, because it's important. We need to think about how we relate to each other. There's a lot of love here, and I am so thankful for that. Don't take this as that I sense that there's a whole lot of criticism going on or a whole lot of accusatory things or envious things or all of these other things that are mentioned on the board. But within my own heart and life, I still need to work out some of the details, some of the things that I could fall into those categories at times. And I imagine that almost no one, if anyone here, is exempt from having a struggle with some of these things. Verse 13, as I had referred to, and now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. We need to have fervent love one for another. We need to be ready to pick each other up, to care, and not to tear each other down, not to point out the possible failures or the things that we see that are not something that is going to encourage but is going to discourage. Are there times to speak into each other's lives about negative things that we see? Absolutely. But not unless you already have a good base of encouragement going on in that person's life. If you haven't spoken encouragement to someone and you go to speak discouragement or to say something in their life, you won't be heard, because we need already to know the love of God to be able to appreciate the chastisement. We need to know the love of each other in order to be able to respect the corrections that might be given. Especially for anybody that might not be here this morning, who might be wondering what the board is saying, or for anybody who can't read it from where they are, the things that I have listed on the board are being critical, suspicious, condemning, disapproving, judgmental, fault-finding, demanding, finicky, fussy, nitpicky, harsh, merciless, unforgiving, insistent, persistent, censorious, doubtful, mistrusting, disbelieving, jealous, interrogational, challenging, onerous, troublesome, burdensome, nagging, exigent, leery, imposing, unjust, envious, and accusatory. Woo! That's horrible. I don't want to be around anybody like that. And yet, if we are, let's be encouraging. Let's find things in those people's lives to pick them up, lift them up. Because everybody, even the people that have half of that list going on in their life, almost everybody has something good going on in their life as well. And if we can speak into their life a little love, some of those things will get reduced. Some of those things will disappear. Hopefully, all of them. Will they ever flare up? We're human. If we sin, we confess our sins, forsake our sins. If we sin again, we have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. What is it that we fall into? Different things. But could be some of the things on this list fit. We need to look to the Lord. I was thinking about that passage in John chapter 8 where this woman was being accused. I'm going to read the first 11 verses. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. I don't know what he was writing with his finger on the ground, but it might have been some of the things on this board. Whatever it was, they walked out one by one. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. You know, that is a very interesting passage because she was found in sin in the very act, and he says to her, I don't condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Why does he say that? If you're found in sin, you're guilty, right? There's condemnation there. But he saw her heart. And you hear her addressing him as Lord. She had just seen what was going on and these people going out one by one. And I believe that he saw something in her that they didn't see. And he says, I don't condemn you either. Go out and don't sin anymore. And, you know, it's so easy when somebody fails to put them in a box and leave them as a failure. And it's not right. It's not fair. If so, get in the box with them because we belong there too. So I would like to focus on some things that are a little better than that and a list of things that are worthwhile. I don't have room to write all of those on the board, but here Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. You know, provoking we normally associate with a negative connotation. But it's okay to provoke each other unto love and good works. It's okay to encourage each other in the things that are good. And it's great to get together and exhort, encourage, edify. Things are getting bad in this world. They've been bad, but they're getting worse. We need to encourage each other. We need to lift each other up. Romans 15, 1 and 2. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Wow. So if we're strong, we're not told, now go around and correct everybody. Make sure they're strong too. It says, we ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. I have the feeling we're going to get a lot further coming alongside them and picking them up than we are going alongside them and knocking them over and saying, you're doing badly. You need to get a grip. We need to tell them, I'm here to help you along. The Lord has worked that area out in my life, and I want to help you. Pick them up. Bring them along. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Are we watching? Are we standing fast? Are we being strong in the Lord? Are we being something that people can look to for encouragement? 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Romans chapter 1, verses 8 through 12. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. I don't hear him saying, I'm sure you guys are messing up in a whole lot of areas, and it's about time you'd see me come around. He tells them, first of all, I am so thankful for you. Your faith is spoken of all over the world. He does say that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end ye may be established. He says that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. He does want to encourage them. He does want to build them up. But he wants to have them know, first of all, that he's thankful. He appreciates. Gets a lot further than tearing people down. Philippians 1, 2 through 11. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. Can't you just hear Paul talking to the Lord and thanking him for these people? Making requests for them, knowing that there's things that they really need to grow in, but doing it in joy, knowing that God, who brought them to the point that they're at, is able to carry them through to where they need to be. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What if we looked at each other that way? What if we said, God, who started this work in you, is going to carry you through? I know it. I believe it. If we felt that from everybody, how far would we get? You know, to me, that's just so important. That's what builds each other, is to see in each other the good, to see that the Lord has worked, the Lord will work, the Lord has used you, and he will use you, and until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. You know, he was praying. Inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Wow. How do we pray for each other? How do we entreat God on behalf of each other? Do we ask that things that are excellent could be happening in their lives, that they could be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, filled with the fruits of righteousness? Wow. Are we asking God for the right things? Or are we saying, oh boy, that he could stop being a bother? You know, it's like, what is it that we're looking at? Are we looking at the blessings that are there and realizing that we're all a bother once in a while? And thanking God that we have each other, thanking God for the things that we see that are a blessing, and asking him to perfect the rest. I counted up the things that were on the board, and if I counted them properly, I came up with 32. And it made me think of Ephesians 4, verse 32, and starting in verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. What's clamor? If there was a peddler that was selling his wares, he wants to make sure you hear about it. I think sometimes we get worked up, if we're not careful, about things that make us insistent and noisy where it doesn't belong. That's what I see. Now, what does it mean to be tender-hearted? To me, it means to deeply care, to have feeling in relation to how we care, have a tenderness, something that can be touched, to want for you what I want for me. That's what I'd like to encourage us in. May God be praised.